So, the Kalesa still left, kept you alive? Do you now see how much power the Kalesas have over us? Huh? You experience it every moment. Tired. Oh, I'm tired. Oh, I don't want to. That's what you experience every day. Yeah, but you don't notice it. Nothing coming up, huh? Oh, nothing coming up. No interest in anything, huh? I don't feel anything. When was it? 25, 41, that is about 98 or what? 38 is 95. 41, 3 years. Yeah, 98. We all thought, you know, Lungta Mahabua is going to die. Yeah, I mean, before the Pansa, I mean, he had problems digesting, you know, and every day he got weaker and weaker and weaker. You know, the food that he put in, you know, came out the same way as it went in. And, I mean, we already thought, oh, we have to prepare for the cremation. It was 98 of Lungta Mahabua, yeah. And towards the end of the Pansa, there was a Chinese doctor. I mean, the Thai doctors had no idea, you know, how to help him, how to cure that, yeah. There came a Chinese doctor from Taiwan. I mean, he just appeared out of the blue, yeah, to Pansa, yeah? And then, you know, talked to Lungta. Oh, I know that, you know, I can help you, yeah. I mean, he brewed up some medicine, you know, and said, okay, you know, you take that, you know, you have to go and shit, you know, I mean, for seven times a day, but, you know, I mean, you don't feel weak, yeah? So, I mean, after 1 or 2 months, you know, he was completely restored back to itself, yeah? That's amazing, yeah? I'm completely out of the blue suddenly, you know. Taiwanese doctor, Chinese doctor. Yeah. And the devas helped him, yeah. And then he started his Chui Chat, yeah. Thai helped the Thai nation, because at the time, you know, it was in the fangs of IMF, yeah. And that is the worst thing for our country. They dictate, you know, to sell this or sell that, you know, to do it like this or that, yeah. But they got rid of it. So, what are you doing? Yeah? Huh? We are talking about what we are talking about, huh? Body. Yeah? Huh? Loathsomeness of the body. There's a book, you know, there's a super book, you know. I mean, everybody can have a look at it. Not yet, yeah. Where lots of nice super pictures are there, you know, and then you can look at them, yeah, and can remember them, you know, the moment greed comes up, you know, or lust comes up, you replace that, you know, replace that image with the image, you know, that you remember from the book, yeah. But there are some nice videos, I think, you know, probably on YouTube, yeah, or God.com, yeah, about, you know, I mean, it is amazing. Now, have you seen that? You know, I mean, when a really fat person comes into, you know, and wants to get rid of its fat, you know, I mean, they suck it out, you know, and the whole room is, I mean, it's terrible, disgusting. Just because she cannot, you know, or he cannot, you know, get rid of his greed, you know, for food, you know, I mean, he goes to the doctor, you know, I mean, it's decadence, yeah? Gets to the doctor, you know, and for lots of money, you know, they suck out the fat, you know. It smells bad, you know, and it looks terrible. Oh, it looks disgusting, yeah. If you have time, go and then have a look at this video, you know. That is within our body. That is our body, you know. For Or people who have too much fat, you know, they can see see it clearly, yeah. Other things, yeah, I mean, next time when one of these women, you know, get a baby, you know, I mean, ask the doctor, you know, when you give birth, you know, I mean, to make a video, because nowadays nobody gives birth, you know, the normal way. Everybody, you know, slices up the body, yeah, slices up the stomach, you know, and then the baby's pulled out. I mean, what kind of, yeah, make a video, you know, when you do it, you know, and then have a look at it, you know, and then you see everything, you know, inside, yeah. It's already body, you know, it's a body, you know, it's a, yeah, I mean, it's a pretty messy thing, yeah. But you cherish it, yeah. You love it, yeah. And you use it, you feed it, you house it, you work for it, you work for it until it dies, yeah? And then you work for the next body, yeah? You train it, you work for it, you work for it, you know, until it dies, you know, and you don't make any use of this body. You don't make any use of this, what is it, manusia chat, the human life, yeah? And the human life, the Lord Buddha said, the human life is a jumping board, yeah? I mean, it is the easiest realm of existence where we can jump out of the hamster wheel or out of samsara, yeah? So use this time, you know, yeah? Forget about all the plans that you have, you know, and then start, start going in the right direction, yeah? I mean, what is the purpose of you still working on working and working, you know? Yeah? Or, you know, planning on doing this and planning on doing that, yeah? I mean, now you have the chance, yeah? I mean, you don't know, in the next life, maybe you don't even meet Buddhist monks, or these Buddhist monks don't know the way out anymore, yeah? So what will happen then, yeah? Huh? Think, next life, yeah? It's just like we think next week, you know? Or tomorrow, you know, we do it tomorrow. Today I don't want to do it, yeah? No, yeah, I mean, get this idea, you know, I mean, make something useful out of your life right now, yeah? Forget about, you know, I mean, everything that you planned, you know, and do it, yeah? Go forward, yeah? Go forward with a plan, you know, find the door, you know, that opens up, you know, so that at least, you know, at least in this life, you know, you're either close to the door of Sotapanna stream entry, or, you know, I mean, you actually can enter the stream. Yeah? It's not too difficult, yeah, but it's not too easy either. Yeah, I mean, it is just work, you know, I mean, think about, you know, walking for 100 kilometers, yeah? Oh, you think about, oh, 100 kilometers, oh, it's so difficult. If you take one step at a time, sooner or later you will reach there, yeah? And the path to Nibbana is just like, you know, the path, you know, from here to Beijing, yeah? I mean, you go over the mountains, then you come to a nice area, then you go through the desert, that is very tough, yeah? Until you end up, you know, in Beijing. But, you know, you just take one step at a time. And the difficulties that are coming along the way is the difficulties in our practice that we have to face up to, yeah? So we face up to, yeah? Sometimes we don't want to face up to, yeah? And we say, ah, maybe there's a way around. And then we go, yeah, I mean, most of us do that, yeah. There must be a way around, you know, over this. I don't want to cross this mountain. There must be a way around, you know. And then, you know, after 1 year, I came to the same spot, you know, I said, okay, yeah, you have to cross it now. Yeah? There's no shortcut, you know, I mean, do it right now when the things are difficult, you know, I mean, tackle the difficulties, because we can tackle any kind of difficulties that come our way. Yeah? There are always, you know, I mean, we have these tools, you know, we have samatha and we have vipassana, we have investigation and we have calm meditation. So we make the mind calm and then we look at the things, you know, that are the difficulties. And sometimes when we look at difficulties, there are no more difficulties because we looked at it. Yeah? from the mountain, you know, that we think to, you know, that we need to cross, you know, suddenly it is a curtain of light, you just walk through. I said, why did I waste 1 year, you know, going around this mountain, you know, when actually, you know, it is nothing, yeah? The kilesas, you know, build up these difficulties in our life and say, oh no, this is too difficult. I can't do that, I can't do that. Yes, you can. It's like, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, I'm sitting in meditation, you know, I'm sitting for an hour or 2 hours, you know, and then the kilesas tell me, oh, I'm so tired, I want to sleep. Sometimes I get really pissed, you know, I said, if you're tired, then go to sleep and don't bother me, you know, And then I sit, you know. And then sometimes they do it, you know, they go away, you know, and then don't bother us. And sometimes they come back again after half an hour. Ah, don't you want to go to sleep now? Don't you want to go to sleep now? You just have to get angry with them. Yeah, that's where you can put your anger at the kilesas, you know, that give us all the difficulties. Yeah. Or doing walking meditation, yeah, 1 hour, 2 hours, and then they start to grumble, you know, I don't like walking meditation, I don't like walking meditation, yeah. And then, okay, if you don't like it, then sit there, you know, and shut up, yeah. and I do my walking meditation, and I do, whenever I come by, I say, yeah, you still grumble? Yeah, yeah, yeah. We still don't like it, yeah, okay, I go. You do like to grumble, huh? And then, you know, I had to laugh and everything was gone, yeah? So, I mean, you can really talk to them, you know? I mean, it's your enemy, huh? It's not your friend who tells you, it's me, it's mine, it's myself, you know? Huh? No, it's your enemy who tells you these things. Oh, I'm so tired. Oh, I can't do it, you know? No. Huh? Get pissed off, you know, get angry at them and say, oh, shut up, you know, I mean, yeah, if you get tired, you know, I mean, just go to sleep and let me sit, yeah. Or if you like to grumble, then grumble on your own, you know, and don't bother me, yeah. That's a way, you know, I mean, we have to find, you know, these tricks, you know, I mean, how to deal with these. Because sometimes they're really obnoxious, you know, I mean, and often, you know, they make us go the wrong way, yeah. So think about it, you know, I mean, I'm just trying, you know, to get it the message a little bit deeper into your heart, you know, using a hammer, hammer it down and down. Hopefully, you know, I mean, the air, you know, that pulls it back up, you know, is not so strong, yeah? So hammer it down, you know, what is the purpose of my life? Really think about it, yeah? What do I want, yeah? What do I want at the end of my life, yeah? Before I die, what do I want to achieve, yeah? And then, you know, take the goal, you know, and go for it, yeah? I mean, actually, it is not so difficult, yeah? It's also not that easy, you know, but it's also not that difficult, yeah? We just go one step. So, I'm in meditation, butto, one butto, yeah? And when the Buddha is finished, the next butto, yeah? When the breath is finished, the next breath. Huh? What's so difficult about one breath? Huh? Oh, I have to sit for 1 hour. No, one breath. That's all what you have to do. After this breath, you know, stops, you know, next breath. After that, the next breath. After that, the next breath. And then, you know, I mean, you can sit for 2 or 3 or 4 hours, yeah? Without any problem until the pain comes, yeah? And then you investigate the pain, yeah? It's the same with investigation, you know. But that, you know, for that we do need, you know, we do need some kind of clever questions, yeah. And don't listen to the answers that come by the kilesas, yeah. Investigating pain. Oh, I'm sitting uncomfortable. Huh? Don't listen to this answer, yeah. Just ask, what is pain? Where is the pain? You know, where can I find it, yeah. But the kilesas constantly come, oh yeah, because of that, you know, or I overstretched myself this morning, or something like that. Don't ever listen to them. Yeah? Get down to the knowingness of the citta. Yeah? And the citta sees it, you know, and yeah, and can overcome it. Sati is the key, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, ask yourself, really ask yourself, yeah. What do I want to do, yeah? I mean, the life that, and investigate the life, you know. Do you have so much sukha, yeah? Do you, I mean, when I look at your faces, no one really looks very happy, yeah? I mean, you're all burdened with your worries, yeah? Huh? I mean, worrying about this, worrying about the future, worrying about your job, worrying about tomorrow, worrying about your relationship, you know? Where do worries come from? Thoughts. Yeah? If you don't have thoughts, there are no worries, yeah? Huh? If you don't have thoughts and memories, there is no future, there is no past, there is just this present moment, yeah? No? No fear. I mean, this is an amazing state, yeah? And everyone, you know, every one of you can, yeah, if he puts a little bit of effort in it, you know, can go there, yeah? Every day. No? Yes. Huh? Yes, we can go there if we put effort in, yeah? I mean, you learn to walk, huh? No? Yeah, you can walk because you wanted to walk, yeah? If you want to learn meditation, you can learn it, yeah? And you can go in Upachara Samadhi, and some of you, you know, I mean, if it is really good, you know, you can go even into Apana Samadhi, if you want it enough, yeah? Ah, so that is not really, you know. I mean, next time, you know, you're with your family, you know, look at the little children, you know, I mean, who learn to walk, you know, constantly crawling up, falling over until they're tired and sleep. And the next thing when they wake up, they crawl up again. Huh? No? They want to learn to walk, yeah? The same thing, you know, I mean, if you see it, you know, they want to learn to talk, yeah? And it takes them a year, you know, before they can talk, yeah? But they want it, you know, they try it every moment, yeah? Huh? And we as parents, what did he say? Yeah, in the beginning, you know, so the child gets frustrated and tries it again and tries it again and tries it again until it gets it right, and the parents understand what it wants, yeah? Isn't it amazing also for the parents, you know, when the baby didn't talk, you know, we understood what it wanted. When it starts to talk, you know, we don't understand what it wants. Because we listen much more to, you know, to the hearing than, yeah, I mean, when the baby cannot talk, I mean, we look what is happening. But the moment it starts to talk, we only listen to what it says, yeah, and then we don't understand what is going on, yeah. And the baby gets frustrated, you know, but it tries and tries and tries, yeah? And it takes, you know, it takes a year, you know, before it can talk. No? Remember that? Yeah, every one of you did the same thing, yeah? Unless you're mute, you know, but I didn't see anybody who is mute, yeah? That is the way, you know, the way is, you know, yeah? I want, yeah? I want to learn meditate, yeah? And nothing, you know, nothing can prevent me from doing it, yeah? Just like I said, you know, get off, yeah? Get off my back, you know? Or sit there and grumble as much as you want, yeah? Or go and sleep, you know, and I want to meditate, yeah? I want to practice, yeah? That is the way, yeah? That is the way where we can get results, yeah? And then we do investigation of the five khandhas. The first khanda, you know, I talked about is the body, you know. I mean, I talked about one of the other khandhas of Vedana, feeling, yeah. I mean, we can investigate, yeah. And the core or the main feeling that we investigate in the beginning is the feeling of pain. Once we are able to investigate that properly, we can investigate any feeling that arises within the body, yeah, or any kind of mental feeling, yeah. We can look at greed, we can look at lust, we can look at anything, you know, and feel it, yeah. Feel it. The first thing is to feel it, to accept it, yeah? But we don't, you know, especially if it's an unpleasant feeling, you know, be it unpleasant mental feeling or unpleasant bodily feeling, we don't want to look at it. Yeah? But now we want to look at it, you know, feel it, breathe it in, you know. Huh? Just like, you know, you go to a dump site, you know, where the smell is really bad. Feel it, breathe it in, yeah? I mean, you don't have farmers, you know, I mean, you don't know, you know, I mean, if they have shit cow and pig cow, you know, oh, it smells. Yeah? So that's how it smells, you know, that's how it feels, yeah? We have to accept it, yeah? Like every kind of feeling we want to investigate, we have to accept it. And then we can ask the question, yeah? Then we can ask the question, what came before the feeling? Maybe there was a thought, maybe there was a memory, maybe there was this, or maybe there was that. So we roll back, you know? Just like, you know, when there's an avalanche, we roll back, you know, and with each rolling, you know, we get less snow until we find the stone that is inside, yeah? It's not easy, you know, because, I mean, the Kilesas constantly, ah, that is it. That is the cause. No? That's not the cause. I don't believe you. Yeah? And then go back. Yeah? What was before? What was before? Until we find, once we find the stone, you know, I mean, that's it. That's why I got so angry. And you have to laugh, you know, because of your own stupidity. Yeah? Yeah. It is, you know, I mean, it is, you know, the cause of all these things, you know, that seem so difficult, you know. I mean, it's because of our own stupidity, because of our own wrong views or false views, you know, that we have, or imagination or expectation. But you only see it when you roll it back, yeah. So when there's a feeling, first thing you accept it, yeah. And just like we investigate pain, we look where it is. And for other feelings, you know, we roll back. What came before? What kind of memory, yeah? What kind of interaction? Maybe it was an interaction. But what did you trigger, you know? What was there? What came before, yeah? And why did I react like this today when the day before I didn't react at all? Huh? So what happened in the morning, you know? Huh? What made me, and maybe I went out of my bed with the wrong foot, yeah? And that, you know, I mean, that made my whole day, you know, terrible or miserable, yeah? Maybe I had a bad dream, you know? But if you do this daily reflection, we see, you know, what, yeah, I mean, how our mood is formed, you know, in the beginning of the day or in the middle of the day, then we can see it, yeah? So that is the way to solve problems, yeah? to see what is going on in our heart. But we don't want to see it, you know. it's too tiresome to do it, yeah? Huh? No, yeah. And then we fall, most of it, you know, most of us, you know, will fall for the first answer, you know, the Kilesas tell, ah, it's because of this, yeah? No, it's not because of this, yeah? Get out, get all these thoughts that come and explain, you know, and they're so clever in explaining these things, you know, yeah? They're explaining, because of this, or because of that, or because of that. And then you have to just chuck it away and say, no, I don't believe you, I don't believe you, I don't believe you. Until there's no more answer coming. And then the heart knows, yeah? And in most of the cases, the heart knows what was the real reason, yeah? You know, sometimes it doesn't know, you know, then we stay with it, you know, and do it another time, you know, until, you know, the heart tells us what is the problem, yeah? And this knowing, you know, I mean, you cannot read it anywhere on Google or in Siri, yeah? This knowing comes from your own heart, yeah? And it understood, yeah? And when the heart understands, you know, it lets go, yeah? That is the only way, yeah? Like I said, you know, I mean, we cannot let go, the mind cannot let go, only the heart lets go. If you show the heart what it does, you know, it lets go, yeah? We don't even have to tell it, yeah? It sees, you know, it does something harmful to itself. I mean, you don't do that, yeah? I mean, yeah, it instantly lets go of it, yeah? It's action, yeah? But as long as it thinks, you know, that what it's doing is good, yeah? Or, you know, lot of fun, you know, I mean, then it still wants to do it, wants to do it, wants to do it. Even if the mind says, ah, no, this is crazy, you know, I mean, I shouldn't really do this, you know. But the heart says, no, it's so much fun, it's so much fun, it's so much fun, yeah. Until we show it, yeah, it harms itself, it hurts itself, yeah. And then it lets go, yeah. Then it doesn't want it anymore. And that is the way of practice, yeah. So what shall I, you know, I mean, you know, there's a good book, you know, and first of all, you know, I mean, look at the super book that he has, you know. I mean, after the talk, let it go through, yeah. I mean, there's even a website, you know, where you can get copy of it, yeah, for your computer. The other thing is, there's another book, you know, it's called A Life of Inner Quality by Lungda Mahabua, and the last chapter is the Supreme Attainments, yeah. In these Supreme Attainments, Lungda Mahabua explains, you know, I mean, absolutely fantastic, the 10 fetters that bind us to the realm of rebirth, yeah. The first fetter is the fetter of doubt, yeah. Doubt that there's heaven, doubt that there's hell, doubt that there are beings in heaven or beings in hell, doubt that there's karma, that there are results of karma, good results and bad results, yeah? That is the first fetter. Most of the Westerners, you know, I mean, are got stuck with this fetter, they will never even progress, yeah? The second fetter is, yeah, fiddling with the precepts, yeah? I mean, if some of you probably know, you know, I mean, what is it normally translated, you know, I mean, what?
Attachment to
what?
Right and
I mean, it's called Sila. Sila has the 5 precepts. Bhatta Paramasa means, you know, I mean, to take on and to not to take on. To take on and not to take on. How can they say rites and rituals? Sila are the 5 precepts, yeah? Today we keep them, then we don't keep them. Then we keep them again, and then we don't keep them again. It has nothing whatsoever to do with rites and rituals, yeah? Sila is very, yeah, I mean, in Thai they use Sila, yeah? Well, the Thai word is seen, yeah? It comes from Sila, from the Pali word Sila, yeah? And that means 5 precepts. It has nothing to do with rites and rituals, yeah? I mean, it's so misleading. Some of the translations are so misleading, yeah? So the second fetter, or the third fetter, you know, I always mix it up because, I mean, I find the third fetter much more more difficult to handle. The second fetter, so is keeping the sila or not keeping the sila, then keeping the sila again, not keeping the sila, constantly swaying forth and back, yeah? That is a fetter, yeah? I mean, from now on we keep the sila and then this fetter is gone, yeah? So, we eliminated the first fetter of doubt, the second fetter, you know, and now we work on the third fetter, the attachment, you know, believing that the body is me, yeah? That the citta and the body are one and the same thing. And I gave you already some exercises, what you can do, you know, how to distance yourself, yeah? To distance the citta so that the citta or the heart can see, you know, the body is the body and the citta is the citta, yeah? If these 3 fetters, you know, if these 3 fetters are cut down, I mean, we do need something like a very, very deep samadhi in order to cut it off forever, yeah? And, yeah, I mean, mostly it's apana samadhi, or sometimes it is even upachara samadhi, or sometimes, you know, you can achieve it with investigation very deeply, so that you run into the apana samadhi, yeah? And then there's the maga, the path moment, yeah? The path moment is very similar to apana samadhi, but it's not the same. Apana samadhi is a preview of nibbana, and maga is nibbana, is the experience of nibbana. So, if you experience that moment, the nibbana, and the 3 fetters are cut, yeah, or nearly cut, then when you dive out, you have become a sotapanna or a stream enterer. Yeah? So, now, get on. Get on. Do it. Yeah. I mean, what is a stream ender? You know, it promises us, you know, at most we have 7 more lives, yeah? 7 more lives of dukkha, yeah? Being in the heaven or being, you know, being in the human realm. We never go lower than the human realm, yeah? Because we kept the sila, yeah? That the second fetter, for us it is gone, it is finished, you know? We don't even think about going against the precepts, yeah? So that is the stream mantra. Yeah? Then the stream mantra, what does he have to work on to? Loathsomeness of this body. Yeah? Yeah? Then he works on, you know, the attachment to the body, the attachment to the senses. Yeah? And in between, getting completely rid of greed and hate. Yeah? These are the fourth and fifth fetter, greed and hate. Yeah? Fourth and fifth fetter, yeah? I mean, in between you go to Sakadagami, so I mean, the greed is reduced by half and the hate is reduced by half. Yeah? There's nothing much to say about that, you know, that is not really an experience in itself. But then, you know, once you balance the scale, like I said, you know, and you go through the middle of the scale, you know, the scale has two there, huh? Dislike, like, dislike, and then you go through the middle, you know, and then you can overcome greed and hate all together. Yeah? And then only, then you are not born again in any of these realms. You have 5 personal realms, you know, that are for the anagami. Yeah? This is the attachment to form, attachment to formlessness. That is 6th and 7th fetter. What is the 8th fetter? Conceit, yeah? Conceit that you're better than others, or lower than others, or equal with others. Oh, that's a very difficult one, yeah? That's not very easy. It's not our conceit that we know something better than these. Our conceit, you know, that is much stronger. No, it's a very subtle conceit, you know? Thinking, you know, oh, I am better than this person, or I'm, you know, my practice is better, yeah? In this term, yeah? Or I'm so lower, yeah? If you live with a Kuba-chan that is so eminent, you know, it is very difficult to get rid of this conceit. Oh, you know, he's so much better, you know. Or even, you know, on an equal footing. So, and then you have the fetter of restlessness, and the last one is the fetter of avicca, yeah. So, I mean, everybody, you know, I mean, if you want a really good description of this, yeah, I mean, look at the supreme attainments in the life of inequality, yeah, by Lungta Mahabua, yeah. I mean, it is fabulous. Write it down? Or did you memorize it already? Or you have the book, yeah? This is very important, yeah. Then you can see, you know, these are the 10 fetters, you know, that bind us to the realm of birth and death, yeah? So in the first 3 fetters, they are probably the most difficult for us, especially if we are lay people, yeah? And nowadays, especially if we are attached to our smartphones, yeah? Huh? Constantly playing around, constantly killing time, yeah? Huh? I mean, it's killing time, yeah? You can't wait to die? Or do you want to make something useful, yeah? I mean, is somebody here who programs, you know, these smartphones, who writes apps for these smartphones? I have a very good idea. The moment you open your smartphone, yeah, you it comes putto, 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 putto. Yeah? I mean, that would be such a good app, you know? Huh? It constantly reminds you whenever I should put it away again. Huh? Huh? Anybody writes apps for smartphones, you know? Huh? Huh? Please write one and distribute it to everybody who's interested, yeah? Because I mean it is a damn nuisance, these smartphones, yeah. I see it, yeah, and everybody, you know, whenever they get bored or whenever they wait for something, they look at their smartphones, you know, as if there is something interesting there. Yeah? Yeah? Okay, understood. I think, you know, I mean, I already presented these ideas years ago and nobody has written the app yet. Huh? I mean, there are so many developers, yeah? I mean, app developers, you know, for smartphones, be it the Android or be it even the, you know, and put it on the Play Store, you know, and ask your friends to download it, yeah? So whenever you open it, putto, 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 putto. Yeah. I mean, sometimes we do need this reminder, yeah? But probably just like one of my disciples, you know, I mean, he writes it on the mirror, you know, did you do your daily reflection today? Suddenly he doesn't see it anymore, and with his app suddenly don't hear it anymore. We're getting so used to it, yeah? Okay, so, yeah. I mean, I think I talked enough, yeah? I mean, let me hear some of your questions that you have, yeah?
My doctor said that I have fatty liver.
What?
Fatty liver.
Fatty liver.
Yeah, so he said I should, you know, exercise more, I should lose some weight.
Yeah.
Which I'm currently doing, exercising more and, you know, eating healthier meals. My question is, in this case, does it mean I have attachment to a healthier body?
I mean, it's keeping your body healthy, yeah? I mean, you don't want an unhealthy body because an unhealthy body, you know, gives you a lot of pain and a lot of problem, yeah? So, I mean, no. We maintain this body, yeah? But we don't overdo it, yeah? Yeah? So get going, eat vegetables, you know? Huh?
How do I do the daily reflection? Let's say I'm working, so do I reflect throughout the day what decision I make? Is it wholesome or unwholesome, or how do I do it?
No, you just look, you don't look for wholesome or unwholesome, you just look for certain things, you know, during the day. Eh? I mean, it is very important, you know, with what kind of thought or with what kind of memory did I wake up? And what did I do then? What kind of thoughts came into my mind? What kind of feelings, you know, what kind of memory came into my mind? You don't look for wholesome, unwholesome, because that is judgment, yeah? We just want to see the, yeah? And then, yeah, okay, then I had my breakfast, you know, what kind of thoughts, you know? And then you see, I mean, you brush your teeth and you're in thoughts. Huh? I mean, it's completely useless, you know, brush your teeth with sati, you know. No, you know, feel, you know, the strokes of the brush, you know. It's the same thing, you know, what do you do when you take a shower? I mean, your mind goes all over the place. Huh? You don't even notice, you know, when the soap, touches the body, or when the water touches the body, because we instantly feel it, and then the mind goes out into thinking about this, thinking about that, yeah, and so on. And that is what you see, yeah? So when you take a shower, when you reflect, what did I think about when I took the shower, or what happened, yeah? And then what did I do then? I went to work, you know, what happened, you know? And then you look at sometimes only at course places, yeah? Not the work that you actually did, you know, I was writing down this. This is not so important, yeah? But the interaction with other people, the interaction with the work itself, what kind of attitude did I have, you know, when, you know, looking at the work, you know, and things like this, yeah? And you just look at it and you don't judge it. It's very important. Don't say it was good or bad, yeah? Just show the heart. Huh? See what you're doing? No, I don't want to see it. Yeah? And that's what the heart tells you in the beginning. I don't want to see it. I just want to do. Yeah? Huh? I don't want to think about it. I don't want to... We are just like little children. We don't want to think about the results of our actions. Yeah? We just want to play. Yeah? Huh? No matter, you know, if you're adults or if you're children, we just want to play and don't want to have any responsibility for our actions, yeah? Most of the time, you know, and sometimes, yeah? You understand that? Yeah? And so you go through, if you can't remember, you know, just take the occasion where you remember next, yeah? And when I went out, you know, you don't remember anything about the work or, you know, just a few interactions, yeah? I mean, when you had your meal at your time, what did I do? What did I do? Yeah? Idle chatter, yeah? And then you see, why do I chat? Yeah? Chit-chat with this person or that person, it doesn't bring me anything. It doesn't bring me any calm. Yeah? I just take in a lot of garbage that I have to pull out, you know, in the evening. Huh? Huh? Turn on.
For the past 2 days, so what I've been doing was that most of the time I focus on Shamatha, Anapanasati.
Yeah.
And only for the last session,
yeah.
5 to 6:30 p.m., then I do this body contemplation,
yeah.
And so forth. I find that this body contemplation has like the quite opposite effect that I feel from Anapanasati. You know, it's like it causes me a bit of that palpitations, light evidence, my breathing comes a bit faster, and stomach seems to like a little bit.
Yeah. So what is your question?
No, so that's why I noticed that by doing this body contemplation, the last session, the two parts, going over all these reasons, I find that it has the opposite effect that I experience compared to Anapanasati. Like instead of like calm, clarity, and kind of peace, I feel more like lightheadedness, palpitations, getting a bit heavy, getting a bit like nervous.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I ask you the question?
Yes.
I mean, when you go to sleep and when you work, are there two different states?
Yeah, two different states.
And if you don't sleep, you cannot work?
You don't sleep, you cannot work. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yes.
See, Anapanasati is the same thing. It's going to rest the mind, yeah? And Vipassana is using the power of the mind, you know, to investigate things. So that is work. So after a while of working, you know, we need to rest the mind again into Anapanasati. And that is what you experience, yeah? Yeah, it has to be this way. Because we need to use thought, and thought is work, yeah? I mean, it drains a lot of energy, you know? If you stop thinking, you know, if you stop thinking for a while, you don't feel so hungry, yeah? But if you think a lot, you know, I mean, you feel hungry, you know, because it uses up a lot of energy, yeah? So, it's the same thing. Vipassana is the work that we do, but we, in order to be able to work, we need to have a good rest. Okay?
So, the way to proceed is that we should build up like some kind of reservoir of calm with shamatha, and then you go to Vipassana and you gain some insight, and when it gets a bit too disturbing, you rest in shamatha.
Yeah, that's actually, you know, what I try to explain, you know? Yeah?
Huh? There's another thing I need to inform you. What you say earlier about medical students, I just inform you that nowadays they don't have the good fortune or misfortune to handle the cadaver personally with their own hands. I know because I belong to the last few batches of medical students who get to dissect a cadaver, and that was like 20 years.
They don't do that anymore.
Yeah. Years after I graduated, I heard that.
But if you become a surgeon, you have to be able to do that, yeah?
That is, if after graduation, you become a surgeon, but not on graduation.
So I mean, yeah,
yeah. Nowadays, what they do is that if they are lucky, they get to watch a live demonstration. Well, but I feel that they are progressing to using CD-ROM.
They want to keep all these ugly things away from us, you know, and make us, you know. just like, you know, I mean, the king, you know, the king of this, you know, Lord Buddha, you know, his father, you know, tried to keep him away from all the ugly things, yeah. But, you know, I mean, the Lord Buddha was so interested in that he went out and then saw the dead person or sick person, you know, and said, well, what is that? I don't never see that in the palace, yeah. Yeah. No, it's okay, yeah. I mean, I went, you know, I mean, I couldn't see a life of the dissection, yeah, but I could see at least, you know, I mean, the cadavers that they prepared, you know, and so we looked up, you know, we touched the flesh, you know, I mean, some of the hospitals in Thailand allow that, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it, you have to know the doctors, you know, and that's okay, yeah. That is, it is very helpful, you know. Even that, you know, even to see, you know, I mean, the, what is it, the prepared, you know, or the things, you know, for students to learn. It's not fresh, you know, but, you know, it's still, yeah, I, still quite.
Yeah. You know, but I have to say that, I've not read the level that when she became Arahant in this session, and neither do my friends, and maybe I am not yet.
What? I did.
I've not read or heard that Leonardo da Vinci became an Arahant doing dissection. So I mean, obviously, what's the difference between him doing dissection and us doing this Ashubha meditation? There has to be some qualitative difference.
I really don't understand the question.
Okay, there are many doctors doing dissection, medical students doing dissection.
Yeah.
Leonardo da Vinci, the Italian Leonardo da Vinci, he also did dissection.
Who became an Arahant?
Leonardo da Vinci does a lot of dissections.
Yeah.
But he never became an Arahant.
Yeah, I mean, this dissection, you know, you have to reflect about it. If you don't use wisdom, you know, this dissection will have no effect on you. Yeah. I mean, There's one thing that I noticed, you know, if one of my students, you know, was from the medical profession, you know, profession, yeah, I mean, it's much, much harder to talk him, yeah, to get him, you know, to see the reality, you know, and to face the reality, because they make a block, yeah, and to go through this block of a medical student is much more difficult than to go, you know, to for other people to see in the reality, yeah? If you don't ask questions, yeah? I mean, an Arahant doesn't have to go and do his dissection. He can dissect his own body, you know? I mean, he doesn't have to do it. But it is very helpful, especially for us, you know? I mean, to see one time, you know, an open body, you know? To see what it looks like, yeah, before we actually have developed the ability to see within ourselves.
So basically, it's not just an intellectual exercise. You have to make it personal. You have to ask the right question.
I mean, yes, I mean, that's what I try to teach. You have to ask the question, you know. I mean, when you take the liver, you know, you picture the liver, you know, with your inner eyes, you know, and then you dissect it. How does it look, you know? And then, you know, how does the liver, you know, is different from the lungs, you know? Then next time you take the lungs, you know, you dissect it, you know, you open it up, you know, you do all sorts of things. And Da Vinci didn't do that, you know, he just drew the pictures, you know. Yeah, so I mean, and then and anybody, you know, after you're thinking, you know, anybody who is, you know, searching must be an Arahant, no? You understand? You have to ask the right questions, yeah? And sometimes the questions don't go in the right direction, you know? We have to learn it, you know, we have to adjust it, you know, to see, you know, to come down to the truth, yeah? Okay? You have only one microphone, you know? I mean, yeah, two microphones, yeah. If you see somebody here. Yeah, okay, so.
It's a question to follow up on the last conversation, based on my personal experience. So, yesterday when I was doing the water conversation, I imagine there's a giant mirror in front of me, I'm sitting now.
Yeah.
And then I was able to clearly see the body parts. But I still wasn't satisfied. So then I told myself that maybe I could crush my eyes. So to see whether I still see, I'm still able to see. So I was able to visualize an image of a chair with no one sitting there. And then, for this part, am I doing it correctly or is it too much? Because I still get like an unsure answer.
You get what?
I'm still unsure. Like, I'm not sure whether I'm doing right. Like, is there a checkpoint to know like this detachment from the body? How is it supposed to do that?
You, what you do wrong is, you know, I mean, you look for the detachment instead of doing the work that leads to detachment. Just do the work. Yeah, I said, you know, I mean, sometimes, you know, sometimes you have to do it 100 times, sometimes 1,000 times, sometimes 10,000 times. You just place it out, you know. Yeah? You don't have to, you know, yeah, you can place out the eyes that look at you. Yeah, or look at the seat. I mean, there's so much play, yeah, there's so much, yeah, so much freedom of play for us to do these things, yeah. The important thing that all the body parts are out there, and that you take them off one by one, yeah. So, you sit there, you know, you close your eyes, and then you cut off your hand, you know, and, I mean, if you're a little bit proficient, then you look at the cut, you know, and you see the bones, you see the tendons, you see the flesh, you see the blood, and then you put it there. Yeah? And then you take the next part, and then the next part, and the next part. I mean, it's up to you how to play it, yeah? But all the parts have to be there, yeah? All the body parts have to be there, yeah? And the citta sits there and sees it, yeah? That's the whole idea, yeah? I mean, it doesn't instantly detach from the, you know, from the body part, yeah? But sometimes, and if you do it often enough, you know, I mean, you get a sense that, I mean, the eye, the moment the last body parts are out, the eye is gone, yeah? I mean, the sense of eye is gone. And the moment you take one, you take one of the body parts and put it back into place, you know, then the eye comes back, yeah? And this kind of experience, you know, that has been deepened until it really cuts. You have enough play. You play as much as you want, you know. I was playing, you know, I mean, all these body parts, yeah. What is happening if I put my legs on my shoulders, you know, and my hands, you know, and yeah, here. Yeah, wow, what does it look like, you know? I sometimes, you know, put my head, you know, towards the ass, you know, and the ass up the head, you know. I mean, yeah. Is that a body? No, we don't consider it to be a body, yeah. We consider it only a body if it is assembled in the right way, yeah. So, I mean, there's so much play you can do, yeah. And see, yeah. That's actually fun, yeah. Can't you stop thinking for a moment? Just do it. Yeah, it's some people in the back, yeah.
Just to follow up on the body contemplation theme, I think you mentioned something along the lines of anger arising. Could you clarify if we intend anger to arise, or it's just...
No, we don't intend to anger to arise, yeah. But it is like, you know, that's why I said, you know, if you take the favorite toy of your child, you know, away, the anger automatically arises, yeah? You don't even try to make it, yeah? Because it doesn't work, yeah? Let the things happen, yeah? I mean, you do investigation, and it is a sign that the body contemplation has some value if the anger comes out later, yeah? If we play only, you know, we can, of course we can play and play and play, you know, and but it doesn't destroy the illusion about the body that the citta has, yeah, or that the kilesas have, yeah. But if we start to destroy the illusion that the body is something, you know, that we made up to be, yeah, then the kilesas get angry by themselves, yeah. Yeah. And then we learn to deal with anger. It is not easy to learn to deal with anger, but you know, I mean, we can learn to deal with anger.
So one question you can ask is there any strategies, like, for example, are we supposed to accompany metta to deal with the anger?
What?
Do we accompany it with metta or loving kindness?
No. Don't destroy it. Yeah? We want to understand, just like we want to understand what is pain, we want to understand what is anger. Yeah? We want to feel it, just like a, breathe it in, yeah? If it smells like shit, you know, breathe it in, feel the anger, feel it in the whole body, and then ask the question, where is the anger coming from, yeah? What is the source of the anger, yeah? Then go down, you know, and just like we go down with the pain, you know, where is the pain, you know, actually there, yeah? Then go down, you know, and find where is the source of the anger. Okay.
Just as a quick follow-up, because when I first encountered Asuka, I was told about stories in the sutta where there's a whole village of monks, for example, who killed themselves because of Asuka practice.
Yeah.
Is there anything we should do to ensure that we don't end up harming ourselves?
If you know Indians, yeah, I mean, Indians are very sensual beings, yeah? Yeah. I mean, he modified, you know. I mean, he probably was talking very tough to them, you know. And then they saw, you know, I mean, if the Lord Buddha talks about asupa, it is very different than when I talk about asupa. I mean, you instantly get the picture when the Lord Buddha talks, you know, you get the picture, you know, you see yourself, you know, just like the examples, you know, when there was a young, beautiful lady, you know, sitting or coming to see the Lord Buddha, you know, and then he showed her, you know, I mean, what she looked in the old age, you know, and she got really completely, you know, frustrated, yeah. That is the way, you know, that the Lord Buddha teaches. He shows us actually directly, yeah, and that's probably why the people killed himself. But he still did a super practice, you know, so I mean, he calmed it down a little bit, you know, but he told this bhikkhu, you know, who was falling in love with one of the courtesans, and this courtesan died. What did he teach him? You remember it? Nah? I mean, so she was, and you know, I mean, at that time, you know, she was, she was laid on, you know, on a table, you know, I mean, just, and then he said, yeah, go and see how the body rots away. So that is a super practice, isn't it? Yeah. But then he warned him, don't go, yeah, against the wind, yeah, because the smell is so terrible that, you know, I mean, it is nauseating, yeah. No, go with the wind, yeah. So look at the place, you know, where the wind goes, you know, goes away, yeah. But look, you know, and he made him stay for until the corpse was rotten. Isn't that a super? Yeah. Yeah, I know, you know, I mean, the Westerners bring it always up, you know, yeah, I mean, and then they all killed themselves, so we shouldn't really look at that, you know, yeah. There's no, nobody will kill themselves, you know, if they see a rotten corpse, huh? But, I mean, Indians are different, you know, very, very sensual beings, yeah. I mean, the ones that I encountered, you know, that come to Thailand, yeah. I mean, they're very, very difficult, you know. So, I mean, you have to work a little bit. You know, you cannot, you know, you cannot put the hammer so much down, yeah. Yeah. Can you explain what I have at the moment? I'm sorry, I have a problem with Singlish, yeah? Singalese, Singapore English, yeah? Speak slowly, you know, and speak a little bit more pronounced so that I understand the question. Yeah. Yeah.
So, is it normal? Do I have to be very detailed in how the structure should be?
As long as you see them and understand the nature of them, that it is okay. If you still see some blurred parts, go more often to these blurred parts until you see them clearer. Okay? Well, what memory came up?
The direction of mind.
Mice.
The direction of mind.
Dissection of mind.
I mean, you cannot dissect the mind, you can dissect the brain.
The mouth.
Even he did. Yeah, so? Oh, you did. Yeah, then go back. Yeah? I mean, sometimes we have to overcome these hurdles, yeah? So the next time, you know, yeah? I mean, in a few days, you know, dissect it again, you know, and then stop for a few days and then dissect it again until you can do it. What's the problem? Ask yourself, you know, what is it? Why can I dissect my lung, you know, or why can I dissect the kidney, but I cannot dissect my mouth because I like the taste, you know, so much, you know, I like to eat so much. That's why I don't want to dissect the tongue, huh? Okay, understood? Have you understood it?
My man was identified an animal. So
what?
Not
a mouse. She dissected an animal, the mouse, so the memory came up, so it wasn't.
Yeah?
It wasn't a mouse.
Yeah? But if you don't like to see it, it is, you know, I mean, the association, you know, be it the mouth of the animal or be it your mouth, it's the same thing. Okay, so. Next. I'm not really sure if I understand your question correctly. What is your fear? What is your worry?
No. I have many, and I'm with the tool, like in the toolbox, right? And
yeah.
Like examining those.
Yeah.
But there's this fear of eternal suffering.
Yeah.
In the realms.
Yeah.
I
mean, this can be a very good motivation, you know, if you fear that, you know, because that is what is actually going to happen, yeah? You fear what is going to happen, yeah? Some people who are close to death fear that they go to hell, and that's what they are going to, yeah? So, I mean, you can use it as motivation to get out of the cycle of birth and death, out of samsara, if you fear that so much. What?
But then he would still have that fear. He would still have that fear.
No. If you get out of the samsara, I mean, there's no fear that you're endless there. I mean, samsara is the, you know, the cycle of birth and death, yeah? If you get out of the cycle of birth and death, I mean, how can you fear eternal suffering? Huh? I don't understand that. Huh? Yeah, you can probably fear, you know, eternal happiness, but you know, I mean, yeah, I don't think that anybody will fear that. Yeah? And also know one thing, you know, I mean, fear is driven by thoughts and memories, yeah? I mean, so go into meditation and cut down on thoughts and memories and there's no fear. Yeah? And there's actually, you know, sometimes coming up some knowing what to do with your life. Yeah? But if you give in these fears, you know, I mean, the more you think about these fears, you know, eternal suffering, you know, or this or that, you know, I mean, the stronger it becomes, yeah? So cut it down, yeah? And that's what meditation is, you know, I mean, Anapanasati, you know, calm meditation is, you know, cut off the thoughts, you know, and, you know, experience reality, yeah? Because there is no fear, you know. Huh? Okay? Why would you harm anyone? I don't understand that.
She keeps imagining herself,
yeah,
accepting anyone that captures her attention.
Oh, that doesn't harm anybody. Yeah, you can do that.
But I'm scared. I have fear that I overthink.
No.
I want to be careful.
Yeah, yeah. That's the fear of the kilesas, to overdo it, to see the reality. Yeah, you cannot overdo that. But don't take a real knife, yeah? That is how you harm people, yeah? Yeah? I mean, do it, you know, as much as you want, you know? I mean, tear their skin off, you know, and see, you know? And yeah, and then compare it to other people, yeah? And there's nothing, and there's no difference, yeah? Even you don't see old and new, yeah? Because the flesh is the flesh, you know, I mean, the flesh doesn't show any signs of old age, yeah? Yeah? Yes, it brings up memories, but not the memories from the brain, but memories from the citta.
Hi, Ajahn, just a quick question on pain investigation.
Mm.
I think one thing that I did when trying to investigate the pain was asking the citta if this is really you.
Yeah, that is not really helpful.
It's not helpful.
No. Yeah. I mean, you can use the principle of anatta, whatever I experience cannot be me. That is what you can say, you know, but this is just one thing to distance yourself, you know, to be able to look at something. Because if you think you are the pain, then there is no investigation possible.
Well, that's why I say, is this really you? And I feel the pain kind of like become more dull. Very sharp at first, and then it becomes a bit shy when I ask it.
No, I mean, this is really not the right question, yeah? I mean, just say, there is pain, let me see, you know, what is pain, yeah? Because there is somebody who knows that there is pain, yeah? And you can use the principle of anatta, yeah? Whatever I experience cannot be me, yeah? But to ask the pain, you know, what did it answer? Nothing.
Yeah,
because the pain is a phenomena, it won't answer you. The only answer that you know that can come, you know, is from the citta or from the kilesas who tell you, of course it's me. Yeah? The kilesas will say, of course it's me. It's my pain. Yeah? I'm so painful, you know, I'm so much in pain and I should stop the meditation. Yeah? That's what the kilesas answer, yeah? The citta is interested in what is really pain, yeah? Where is it coming from?
So when I ask the question, I feel that when the pain subsides a little, then that's kind of like a response, because it's like, no, it's not really.
Because you don't really look at it in this way. When you ask the pain, are you me? You know, are you mine? Is it you? You know, yeah. Then you know you don't really look at it. You know, I mean, you're already somewhere off in thoughts. Yeah. I mean, the Singlish is still there.
I'm having aversion towards people of the opposite gender.
Yes.
Whom I find attractive.
You have aversion to something that you find attractive?
That is
something that I don't understand. I either have aversion to some, the opposite gender, yeah, or I feel attracted to the opposite gender.
So the person says that they subconsciously find themselves putting a distance between them and people whom they find attractive. So is this an intended result of body contemplation or just a fear of attachment?
Probably it's more a fear of attachment, for a fear of getting lost, in one's sensual desire or sexual desire, yeah. I mean, but this person has to be very clear, yeah. I mean, if I'm afraid, of falling in love, with the opposite gender, and then I block it off, with my mind, yeah. I mean, it has nothing to do with the result, of body contemplation. Body contemplation, actually cuts down on the desire, yeah? And then there is no fear, yeah? So, I mean, this is as much as I understood the question, yeah?
Okay, second question.
First of all, I mean the primary fault in the whole question is you cannot observe the citta. When I observe my citta.
What about basically the question is about metta.
Metta?
Wanting something better to happen rather than accepting things as they are. Is that chanda or tanha?
What is chanda?
Desire.
What?
Desire, chanda.
Tanha is desire.
No, chanda.
Chanda.
I mean, please don't ask me anything about Pali. I mean, phrase it in English or Singlish, But, I mean, I know only a few words in Pali, and it's enough. I cannot even memorize, some of the chant.
Differentiating like wholesome and unwholesome desire. So
the wholesome desire is there's only one wholesome desire to get out of the cycle of samsara. That is the only wholesome desire that we can have, yeah? And if we have this, it can lead us out, yeah? Anything else, what is on the path, and we know. I mean, actually, what the Lord Buddha said, it's so simple, I mean, sila, samadhi, panya. Yeah? That is the way out, yeah? And that is wholesome desire to develop sila, to develop samadhi, and to develop panya. And there's nothing wrong with it, you know, we can do it 24 hours a day, yeah? Could.
I said,
to meditate until the breath disappears, you know, I mean, it is like meditating until our interest in the breath disappears. We are not interested in the breath anymore because, you know, I mean, it becomes boring. That is, I said, the breath stops. It doesn't disappear. The interest in the breath disappears. Huh? The breath stops. And it really stops. Yeah? But it is not, there are two types of, you know, one death, you know, is the death, you know, that people can, you know, what is it, clinical and what is it?
Biological.
What?
Biological and clinical death.
Yeah. Yeah, one is the death, you know, you can wake up, you know, 7 days later and you're fully awake, yeah? And this kind of death is apanasamadhi. That's when the breath really stops, yeah? You can't feel the breath anymore, you can't feel the heartbeat anymore, but it's still working, the body still maintains itself, yeah? And that is apanasamadhi. But after 7 days, you have to come back, you know, to get the breathing going and the heartbeat going, you know, otherwise the body really dies, yeah? Yeah, people come back, you know, much, much quicker, yeah. But some of the anagamis, some of the arahants, you know, I mean, do that, you know, because there's nothing else to do, so, I mean, they just go into Nibbana, you know, and then after 7 days they come out, you know, take a little bit of food, you know, and then they go back in, yeah. I mean, not every person, not every monk, you know, can teach, you know, not every arahant is able to teach, yeah. Some people have never learned that, you know, and other people have learned it and they can teach, yeah. The Buddha has to learn it, you know, over years, over lifetime and lifetime and lifetime. I mean, you all went to school. There were some good teachers, you know, that really could, you know, very clearly, you know, tell you, you know, what is going on, you know, or what, how to learn it, and you understood everything, you know, and other teachers, you know, I mean, what is he talking about? Yeah. So I mean, it is, you know. I mean, it is a way, you know. It is. How do you call it? You know. Now I don't even know what to call it. It's an ability that you learn, and the ability that you learn, even a doctor has to learn this ability. Yeah. I mean, if a doctor has been a doctor for 7 lifetimes, he looks at you and he knows what is wrong with you. But if it is the first lifetime, you know, where it's a doctor, I mean, he looks up in all his volumes, you know, what could that be, what could that be, what kind of medicine, you know? Yeah. It's the ability that we learn over lifetime and lifetime and lifetime, yeah? So.
Any more questions? Last question in the box. Just at lunch, the aircon is cool and I feel sleepy when I start to meditate. Can you even meditate in this state?
Huh? What? I mean, he had lunch, you know, his stomach is full and he doesn't want to meditate. Yeah? In German, there's a saying of a full stomach doesn't like to study, yeah? So he does walking meditation, huh?
Can help with chores at all, yeah.
What?
Help with doing chores, cleaning.
Cleaning,
yeah,
chores.
Chores.
Yeah. You know, walking meditation is the best, you know, after you have your meal, you walk for an hour or 2 hours and then, yeah, you're fit, you overcome this, yeah. Of course, you know, with a full stomach, you know, and normally you eat more than you need, you know, and then, you know, I mean, you sit, yeah, and then it goes down, you know, yeah? No, walking meditation, okay.
Sila, Pata, Paramasa, is that referring to the 5, 8, or?
No, Sila is normally the 5 precepts, but it referring to all the precepts. So for lay people who stay in a monastery, they have to keep the 8 precepts. Huh? Mechis also have to keep the 8 precepts. Monks have to keep the 227 precepts. Huh?
So for Sotapanna, for each category, they just have to maintain...
I mean, yeah, for each... I mean, if you take on the 5 silas, then you take them on, yeah? And you don't, you know, today, maybe not. Huh? That is the paramatta. And we see it, you know, I mean, every one of us knows, just one time. Yeah? That's no big deal, huh? One time is no big deal, yeah, yeah. And that is the swaying, yeah. Now, okay, you know, I won't open my mouth, you know, even if people, you know, I mean, if people attack me, I won't say anything harmful, yeah. Or I won't tell white lies, yeah. White lies, the same thing, yeah. Okay, so no more questions. You're practicing not hard enough. Yeah? there's one more question. Yeah.
Is traditional investigation of breath itself, like the breathing meditation, investigating the breath? So what I was doing, this is my day 3 of Anapanasati because I've never done it before.
Yeah.
So as I was breathing, then there was a realization that in the exhalation there is dying.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I start, then there is a question that arises that says, who is breathing?
What?
Then a question arises in the mind that asks, who is breathing?
Who is greedy? Yeah.
Yeah. And then I hear this answer that says, causes and conditions.
What?
Then I hear this answer that says, causes and conditions. So my experience is...
Causes aggravation?
Causes and conditions.
She asks herself, who is greedy?
Yeah.
And the answer comes back, is it causes and conditions?
Causes and conditions.
So my experience is simply the breathing itself, can I just investigate the breathing?
No. You shouldn't investigate the breathing, yeah. I mean, if you investigate the breathing, you can stop the breathing, you know, and that is not really healthy, yeah. I mean, observe the breathing. And through observing of the breathing, it becomes calmer and calmer and calmer, yeah? Until it stops by itself, yeah? You can also make your heart stop, you know, if you investigate the heart. And that is not what we want, yeah? We want to use this body, you know, until we get, you know, until we get out of samsara. And we don't want to die unnecessarily. So we don't investigate breathing, yeah, but we observe it, and through the observing of breathing, we understand a lot of things, yeah. And the answers that come up, you know, forget about it. You said, you know, I'm not sure. Just say, I'm not sure, yeah. Don't know, yeah. Or I don't believe, yeah. The thing is, you know, with the knowingness of the heart, yeah, if an answer pops up and you're pretty sure, you know, this is the right answer, question the answer, yeah, that I don't believe you, and then you see it falters, then you know it is coming from the kilesas. Because an answer that comes from the heart, yeah, you can never question, because you know it. And this knowing doesn't disappear, yeah. If it disappears or it can falter, you know, then it was from the kilesa, yeah? The very good way, you know, to see, you know, what comes from the kilesa and what comes from the heart. Okay, so? A little bit more fighting, huh? Yeah? There's nothing else to do. I mean, when I came to England, you know, for longer retreat, I think it was 4 or 5 months, yeah, there was a sign over the board of Panna, you know, There's nothing else to do than breathing in and breathing out. Yeah? That's what we do, yeah? And to observe it. Nothing else to do, yeah? Not just observing, breathing in, breathing out, yeah? And then once we get calm, we do investigation. Okay, so.